Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, we got so much to talk about here in the 7 o'clock hour of this show. Where should we start? Let's start with women's sports. Let me see here. So Republican senators voted to protect women's sports yesterday from men who want to pretend to be women and then take away sports opportunities from women. And then they want that as an excuse to be able to go into your locker rooms, in your bathrooms, women. There's men that want to do that. Not one Democrat. Not one Democrat voted to protect women and girls' sports. Not one. Not even one. Yeah, not even, oh, what's his face? All I can think of is Magilla. What is, John Jackson calls him Sling Blade, is the nickname that John Jackson had for, God, what's his, Fetterman, that's right, the Fetterman, the guy from Pennsylvania who wore the shorts and the hoodie sweatshirt to Trump's inaugural address inside the Capitol Rotunda. And, you know, he likes to pretend to be a moderate. He likes to pretend to talk tough. He likes to pretend to be common sense now. But then when it really matters, nope, the guy couldn't even vote to protect women and girls' sports. One of the biggest reasons why Democrats lost so miserably in the 2024 elections. Let me see. I think I just pulled up a Fox News radio story to give you the scene setter, give you the rundown, and then we've got audio from Montana Senator Tim Sheehy, who's been speaking about the she's of the world on this very topic. All right, where's the story? Here we go. The Senate bill, the discussion about protecting women and girls sports.
A majority of senators voted in favor of the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, but the 51-45 party line count was not enough to move past the Senate 60-vote filibuster threshold.
The motion is not agreed to.
The bill would prevent school athletic programs from allowing transgendered athletes who were born male from participating in girls' sports. Although similar legislation passed the House, it's dead for now. President Trump signed a similar executive order in February, saying at the time,
women's sports will be only for women.
The NCAA has since changed its policy to reflect that order, but several states have said they will not abide by it. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
All right, and of course, the NCAA's policy was actually kind of a sham. They're still trying to play games with it, with women's sports. Either way, here is Navy SEAL veteran and Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy shortly after that vote.
Just leaving the Capitol here. Just cast my support for a Senate bill to, guess what, crazy controversial, make sure only girls can play girls' sports. Believe it or not, that's what we're trying to do here as Republicans in the U.S. Senate, is make sure that we can protect women's athletics, which, let's not forget, about 50 years ago, one of the top priorities of the Democrat Party was women's equality in sports and everything else in life. And now it's Republicans holding the line, trying to make sure we actually do provide opportunities for young women to play sports. Proud to support it. Let's get it passed.
All right, so thankfully, President Trump has already done the right thing. But they need to codify this into law in case the Democrats ever take power again. Hopefully they can do that through reconciliation and one big, beautiful bill. Maybe two.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll start off the day with some areas of light snow with some light additional accumulations in some parts of the area. Then some sunshine develops, especially during the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, staying from the mid-30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the lower 20s. Then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
It's March 4th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Hug a GI Day. Those who serve and have served this nation in the armed forces deserve our support. The term GI used to refer to Army personnel, but over time, it now encompasses all members of the military. So take a moment out of your day to give a pat on the back or shake the hand of someone who has served. let them know their sacrifice does not go unnoticed. Also on this date, in 1789, the first U.S. Congress meets under the new Constitution in New York City's Federal Hall. And in 1989, the Louvre Pyramids by artist I.M. Pei are inaugurated by French President François Mitterrand. The structures can be found in the courtyard of the museum. If it's your birthday today, you share it with Baroque composer Antonio Vivaldi, born in 1678, and actress Catherine O'Hara, born in 1954. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
All right, let's put this phony talking point to bed once and for all. Deporting illegal aliens is not racist. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. That's my latest rant in response to just some of the absurd left-wing comments that I've seen on some of the social media sites out there. You can check it out. Go to MontanaTalks.com. And oh, by the way, if it's so racist to deport illegal aliens, then why did Hispanics support Trump in such a big way? Are the
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We should do just an entire segment this hour focused on Scott Jennings schooling everybody else on CNN. I've got a couple of different clips here that are just incredible. There was one on CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillip, and then Brian Kilmeade and Jimmy Fallon had another clip. Anyway, good stuff. We're going to have to, maybe we'll do that after the Farm and Ranch report here. And then another entire segment we can do is similar to Charlie Hurt's comments on Fox. Only Democrats have helped Vladimir Putin. Another reminder, Democrats are the ones that constantly help Vladimir Putin. And that ties in, actually, with one of the sound bites from Scott Jennings. So that could actually fit in the Scott Jennings segment. Real quick here, and then we'll jump into your calls, 406-294-0970. So there's a big case at the United States Supreme Court today. It's Smith and Wesson versus Mexico. And Montana's Attorney General Austin Knutson has played a big role in this case in standing up for American gun rights and American firearms manufacturers.
This week, by the way, a novel case lands at...
And now, of course, now the audio sounds all garbled, so that's all right. We'll cue that up. We'll re-rack that one for you and get to it here in just a few minutes. Let's get to your phone calls. Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. A couple of quick talking points on the Mexican cartel and also the president of Mexico. I just want to say that the Smith & Wesson case, yes, she's suing our gun manufacturing companies. And, you know, she is really standing up for the Mexican cartel. She is doing everything in their favor, and she forgets to mention we don't even know how many thousands of guns that the cartel has brought into our country. I mean, guns are manufactured all over the world, in India, in Iran, Germany, everywhere. And so the United States is not the only country that manufactures guns. This woman is really starting to anger me. But I'm waiting for President Trump to work with the state of Arizona in shooting down the Mexican cartel drones that are occupied with cartel gangsters and bringing drugs into our country, and also the destruction, the bombing of these cartel tunnels that hook up, that they dug beneath the Tex-Mex and the Arizona and Mexican border.
You know, I'll bet you there is so much happening right now, kind of, that we don't even know about how our troops and our Border Patrol are finally able to go after these cartels and this human trafficking operation on our southern border. I'll bet you there's so much going on that we don't even know about. So I can't wait until some of these stories start getting sold and start getting shared, because we even heard this down at the SHOT Show back in January that it was already game on. down on the southern border. Nancy, great to hear from you. Yeah, here we go. I think the audio should work now, that Smith & Wesson v. Mexico case. Here's Shannon Bream.
This week, by the way, a novel case lands at the Supreme Court. Mexico is suing several U.S.-based gun manufacturers, saying they are to blame for growing violence south of the border. The companies say they produce a lawful product and they're not responsible for Mexico's crime crisis. Smith & Wesson, Beretta, Colts, Glock, all among the defendants in a $10 billion lawsuit filed by Mexico, alleging these U.S. companies knowingly allowed guns to end up in the hands of dangerous cartel members in Mexico, who then used them to terrorize and kill. Larry Keene is Senior Vice President and General Counsel for the National Shooting Sports Foundation.
So you know what Mexico says? There were notifications that there were entities that were letting these distributors, letting these manufacturers know this is where your weapons are ending up, that they had some form of notice.
Generalized foreseeability does not give rise. It's not proximate cause. There's no legal duty. Baseball bat manufacturers know that some of their products will be misused in assaults. Knife manufacturers know that some of their products will be misused to stab people. That doesn't give rise to liability.
But what happens if the U.S. Supreme Court, after hearing arguments next week, allows Mexico to pursue a legal remedy in the U.S. court system? Gun rights advocates like Keene are worried.
It would mean the destruction of the Second Amendment in the United States. It would bankrupt the industry.
Congress passed the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act in 2005 to prevent gun companies from being held liable for misuse of their products. But Mexico argues the law, quote, provides no protection for businesses engaged in unlawful commerce in arms, and alleges that's what the manufacturers have been doing by selling to dealers Mexico claims the manufacturers knew were preferred by the cartels. A group of blue state attorneys general is backing Mexico, saying the law is meant only to shield blameless manufacturers and sellers, but that it doesn't equate to blanket absolute immunity against any and all liability. But another coalition led by Republican Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson argues it isn't the manufacturer's fault that gun crime is raging out of control in Mexico, and points the finger elsewhere.
This is happening primarily because we provide a lot of firearms to the Mexican government, to the Mexican army, and a lot of those guns go missing and end up in the cartel's hands. This is a Mexico problem, not an American problem.
We'll see what the justices think. That case is scheduled for an hour-long argument on Tuesday with a decision due by the end of June.
All right, yeah, that is taking place today. But, yeah, Montana's attorney general standing up for us and being featured in that Fox News Sunday report. I meant to get to that one yesterday, so wanted to sneak it in today for sure. This is also why getting debanking legislation across the finish line in Helena is so important. I better do that rant next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One critical piece of information that rarely seems to surface in the current war of words over disruption to federal government spending of late is just how much that spending ballooned in recent years. Not all the increases were the result of COVID. In 2019, when we were not exactly frugal, spending $4.5 trillion that wasn't $1 trillion in excess of revenues. But then it got ugly. Last year's spending was $6.7 trillion. That's 52% more. Let's take a look at the pieces. The smallest increases were still large. Defense, 27%, Medicare, 34%, and Social Security, 40%. Other health program spending, including Medicaid and the VA, were up 56%. Other discretionary spending was up 71%. But the biggest rise was the interest paid on the ballooning debt. At $882 billion, it now stands 135% higher than 2019. And since 2022, the deficit started growing again, almost double the pre-COVID amount. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The fallout from that Oval Office shout fest is still being felt. Vladimir Zelensky said something, let me be honest, monumentally dumb yesterday, vindicating President Trump's stance that he's not ready to reach a settlement with Russia. AP reporting that Zelensky predicted the end of the war was still very, very far away. Trump went on Truth Social. This is the worst statement that could have been made by Zelensky, and America will not put up with it for much longer. What are they thinking? And then he told reporters, now, maybe somebody doesn't want to make a deal. And if somebody doesn't want to make a deal, I don't think that person will be around very long. Fox's Peter Ducey saying that Trump is going to insist on an explicit public apology. But some Republicans are hoping that the rare minerals deal can be put back together. What are they thinking? I don't have a clue. This sounds self-destructive. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Are you?
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This week at Commodity Classic in Denver, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins attended the event. She spoke with reporters on a variety of topics from the state of the farm economy, trade and tariffs, bird flu, and the recent layoff of USDA employees by the Department of Government Efficiency. Rollins spoke specifically to those layoffs.
And we have been looking at them. And in fact, we have, I have been very transparent in this. This is an extremely aggressive effort that I fully support, but in being so aggressive, there will be mistakes made. And there have been mistakes made. I think in the first tranche, we let go, as part of those cuts, some of the avian flu experts, and immediately Kaylee brought them back and have done that. I was down at the Borlaug Institute in College Station on Friday looking at all of their great researchers, and the three scientists that greeted me, the world's most renowned agriculture researchers that the Borlaug Institute and Texas A&M had recruited, were also given the pink slip. But within a few days or a week, they too were brought back. So that is, I think, a really important part of this, is we're moving at Trump speed, that there will be some mistakes made, and that we will fully take responsibility for it and recognize it when that happens.
Again, that was Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins speaking yesterday at the Commodity Classic. I'm Lane Northlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun here with Scott Jennings on CNN. A couple of different short sound bites, a great roll-up by Jimmy Failla, the stand-up comedian with his own, the former New York City cab driver with his own Saturday night show on Fox News. We'll get to all that more. Ooh, Buck in Bozeman. Buck in Bozeman sent us a message earlier. You know, we've been talking about DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and Elon Musk's efforts to peel back this $2 trillion deficit that Joe Biden handed, not just to Donald Trump, but handed to we the people and handed to your kids and grandkids to have to pay off if we don't bring this deficit down. That's going to be piled on top of the $36 trillion in debt. By the way, with some of these federal workers being laid off, I had a question, because I haven't seen this put out there anywhere. I had a question, so I took it to Grok, the AI platform used by X, and they've got Wall Street Journal, the liberal UK Guardian, 15 different web pages, 13 different posts on X as their source material here. This was my question. How much did the federal workforce expand under the Biden presidency? The federal workforce expanded, this is Grok's summary anyway, the federal workforce expanded by approximately 4.8% under the Biden presidency, growing from about 2.89 million employees when he took office in January 2021 to around 3.02 million by January 2025. So we saw a big spike. Oh, let's see. Here we go. Here's what else is interesting. These figures align with... if you focus solely on the executive branch, the growth was slightly higher at about 5.5%, rising from approximately 2.17 million to 2.29 million employees. These figures align with analyses from various sources tracking federal employment trends during Biden's administration, which saw a nearly 6% overall increase in the full-time, non-seasonal workforce across major agencies. So this is what... this is what Biden did. They took, never let a crisis go to waste. That's why they wanted to keep the COVID crisis going, is because they wanted to use it to their advantage. They wanted to expand government's role in your lives. They wanted to expand the bureaucracy. And so they did just that. They wasted trillions and trillions of dollars, which drove up inflation, and that's why everything costs so much. But also, they wanted to expand the bureaucracy. Just like, remember the schools in Missoula? They had to lay off like 100 employees, and which was sad, right? But the fact is that Missoula shouldn't. What Missoula did, the Missoula schools, is they said, ooh, we've got this pot of one-time money. Let's use one-time money and dramatically expand our workforce. And then we'll just go back to the taxpayers and say, give us more money or these people get fired. Talk about a hostage negotiation, right? Well, what they should have done is used one-time funds for one-time expenses and one-time funding, right? You know, fix this, fix that, do this, do that. But no, they wanted to shake down the taxpayers of Missoula who are taxed enough already and say, well, now, see, we use the one-time funds to hire all these extra people, and now if you don't give us more of your taxpayer dollars, we're going to fire all these people. And that's basically what Joe Biden is doing, but he's making your kids and your grandkids pay for it through deficit spending. So anyway, those were interesting numbers there. So keep that in mind before we get to the Scott Jennings segment here. But I have to say one thing. Attorney General Austin Knutson was featured in that Fox News Sunday report talking about how Mexico is trying to bankrupt American gun manufacturers so that Mexico, a foreign government, can take away your ability to purchase guns, to take away your ability to exercise your Second Amendment rights. Mexico is trying to bankrupt and basically debank gun manufacturers in America. And Democrat attorney generals are taking the side of Mexico. Yeah, big surprise there, right? But look, we can talk all day about the Democrats, but let's talk about the Republicans in Helena in the legislature. There is debanking legislation. I'm a life member of the Montana Shooting Sports Association. They've got a debanking bill specifically focused on firearms manufacturers. Now, my wife is also doing incredible work for the Alliance Defending Freedom, and they're partnering, you know, of course, right alongside the Montana Family Foundation with even more comprehensive debanking legislation that not only protects gun businesses here in Montana, but it protects people of faith so that they can't debank you because, well, your religious beliefs don't align with their LGBTQ, RSTLNE, corporate big banking mandates. So because they don't like your religious beliefs, they don't want you to be able to do any financial transactions. This debanking legislation, both bills have a segment here. So Scott Jennings, I think John Jackson made this point before that, you know, it's remarkable because some of these former staffers for George W. Bush, it's like, man, what happened to those guys? Like, my goodness, just complete wimps. Right, just establishment, whatever. Not Scott Jennings, though. Scott Jennings is one of those guys who, you know, prominently worked for the Bush administration in the past, but didn't turn into one of these never-Trumpers. And, man, the guy is just on fire. He's just spot on every time. I still can't watch the full episodes of CNN because there's just too much stupidity. I mean, it's funny to watch Jennings, but I can get the highlights on X the next day. I just can't handle all of the other panelists. They're just, I'm not being mean here. I'm just being honest. They're just some of the dumbest people I've ever seen. I have Democrat friends, and they're smart, and they raise some good points, and I disagree with them, but they at least are smart and make some good points. These people that CNN puts on there, they're like the dumbest people on the planet. Jamal, you know, ring the alarm, ring the fire alarm. Bowman was one of them. And it's like, man, no wonder even the Democrats kicked that guy to the curb. Anyway, here you go. This was Brian Kilmeade and Jimmy Fallon played this clip of Jennings schooling another one of the CNN panelists.
He hasn't been confirmed or elected to this position. Also concerned for our national security to have this unelected, unconfirmed person and all of these top
secret meetings. Can I ask a question? Did Joe Biden have staff at the White House? And how many of those staff members were elected?
Well, but Scott, Elon
zero. The answer is zero. Every president appoints people to do things for them. To call him unelected is like the most naive and ridiculous talking point I've ever heard.
Scott, I can't believe you would believe something like this, because if this was Joe Biden allowing for a billionaire...
Allowing people who weren't elected to run the country for the last 4 years? Yeah, I wouldn't believe that, actually.
Well, if this was Joe Biden... Joe Biden had unelected people running the entire country for the 4 years. For decades, this entire country has been run by unelected people, which is exactly what Elon Musk is working to change right now, which is why they are screaming so loudly and throwing these temper tantrums in these phony stage protests across the country in town hall meetings. Disruption, nothing else. And then Jimmy Fallon, he responds to Kilmeade's reaction to that very clip with this.
Who elected John Kerry to fly around the world and yell at us about making sure we minimized our carbon footprint while he was on a private jet?
Right.
Banned plastic for us while he had it in his face. Right. I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, that's right. Who elected John Kerry to fly his private jet all over the world? What a great point there by Jimmy Fallon. All right, the next Jennings highlight reel that I want to play for you. This one, let me see. This is a very important one here, because he's calling out the Democrats on Russia. Charlie Hurt did the same. And I want to give you a very Montana, North Dakota specific example of how important this point truly is. It's about Russia and the Democrats. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's get to some more Scott Jennings highlights here. Get to Charlie Hurt, what he had to say as well. You know what? Instead of me playing those sound bites and then giving you the Montana, North Dakota specific example, let's just put the local example as the bottom line up front. The bottom line up front is this. Do you guys remember a few years ago when we told you about official government reports that showed that the Russians were funneling money into the environmental groups, these radical environmental groups, right here in our own backyard? The environmental groups that were opposing the Keystone XL pipeline, the environmental groups that were opposing the DAPL pipeline over in the Dakotas, the environmental groups that were opposing fracking. And now we wonder why Russian gas is being sold in the northeastern part of the United States of America. It's not just Europe that's dependent on Russian oil and gas. There's parts of America that are dependent on Russian gas. Tell that to your friends with their phony little Ukrainian flag Facebook profile photos. I know they still won't listen because it's just virtue signaling for most of them. There are some people out there that actually care and do it, but most of them, it's just phony virtue signaling. It's just that's just another way of them telling everybody how much they hate Donald Trump. That's all that is. The Russians were funneling money into the environmental groups that operate right here in Montana, and they were operating in North Dakota to oppose pipelines. Why would the Russians do that? We all know the answer to that. So keep that in mind. Here was another one of the back and forths here. This is Scott Jennings on CNN. I think Thomas Hearn shared this via X. Let me pull up the actual tweet here. Yeah, here we go. Thomas Hearn says, Scott Jennings has never lost an argument on CNN Newsnight with Abby Phillip.
Yeah, you mentioned the Europeans. It's interesting to me. They spend more money on Russian oil and gas last year than they sent to Ukraine. Collectively, it's number one. Number two, it's interesting to me that Zelensky could not see on Friday the benefit of signing the minerals deal. That in and of itself is a security guarantee. When our interests become your interests, that is a security guarantee. You're never going to get Trump to sign an agreement saying, well, we'll eventually put boots on the ground.
Scott, is not a security guarantee.
It is, because we would have guaranteed our own interests.
On top of that, most of the minerals are in territory that is being held by Russia. But so the mineral deal is something that is...
Are you saying that we would have entered into an economic system
and not defended it?
Of course we would.
It's near and dear to Donald Trump's heart, but it is not a security guarantee.
I disagree.
All right, so let's put the mineral deal security guarantee aside for a moment. First off, the United States now has a huge vested interest economically and national security material minerals that come out of this region of Ukraine, but not the United States isn't going to make sure that their interests are defended. Well, maybe if Joe Biden was still president, we wouldn't. Give me a break. Like, she's actually making that argument. Not only that, but like, okay, let's say we are, you know, we do have a minerals deal with Ukraine. Who do you think's going to be on the ground helping to extract those minerals? I'll guarantee you there'd be at least one guy or gal from Butte, Montana, that went to Montana Tech and specializes in that sort of thing. You don't think that the United States would have an interest in protecting our people on the ground? That's why that whole argument is just so absurd by CNN. But the more important point that he just made right there, I don't know if you picked up on it, was the very first thing that Scott Jennings said in that clip that was shared by Thomas Hearn. The Europeans spend more money on Russian oil and gas. They spent more money on Russian oil and gas last year than they sent to Ukraine collectively. Oh, no, but let's let the European Union lecture Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and the rest of us here about who cares more for the Ukraine. You got to say the Ukraine. You can't just say Ukraine. You got to say the Ukraine. The Europeans gave more money to Vladimir Putin than they did to Vladimir Zelensky. And again, bringing it back to the United States of America, we've got people in the New England states and in the northeast of this country that are dependent on Russian gas right now to this day. And by the way, who warned the Europeans not to build that pipeline from Russia? And who worked to build pipelines in America and to unleash American energy independence? Donald J. Trump. Who warned the Europeans? Remember the German delegation laughing at Donald Trump when he warned them about not becoming dependent on Russia? The point is that the leftists in Europe and the Democrats in America and their environmental group backers, they are the ones that are funding Putin's war against the Ukraine. Oh, but look at their Facebook page. I stand with Ukraine. Look at the blue and yellow I'm wearing. They're a bunch of phonies, a bunch of straight up phonies. All right, one more, and then I want to get to Mike and Big Timber. Here you go. Charlie Hurt was on Fox as well. Here's the point Charlie Hurt made.
Part of what I think is so amazing about it is what you, of course, touched on, that, you know, this goes back to the old Russia hoax business the Democrats have tried to impeach Donald Trump with, and, you know, all the stories they make up about him. But here's the other thing that I think is so amazing about it is that, you know, the only people who have helped Vladimir Putin over the past 10 years are Democrats. Democrat presidents, it was Barack Obama and Joe Biden who gave Vladimir Putin Crimea. It was Joe Biden who gave Putin Ukraine. This is the behavior of Democrats. And then you have somebody like Donald Trump who doesn't want to get us enacted, you know, entrenched in a whole new war, wants to be a good steward of the American taxpayers' dollars, and is saying, let's bring about peace, which seems should be something that we're all in favor of. And they go absolutely crazy. And I think it...
All right, yeah, we'll hold it right there. Anyway, it's a good back and forth from Charlie Hurt on Fox. I think I shared that via x.com/Aaron Flint as well. I don't know, so much good info to share these days, man. I'll tell you what, it's crazy how much good content there is out there to talk about with President Trump and everything he's doing. Let's get to your phone calls here, 406-294-0970. Mike in Big Timber, hey, what'd you think about the Friday meeting in the Oval Office?
Well, thanks for asking that question. What I thought would be better is if the deal was signed behind closed doors, then come out and meet the, you know, meet the press and the public. And I just don't understand the news reports I heard that they, I think the Secretary of State was trying to get the deal signed in Europe. In other words, he had done the negotiations, but then there were reports that they tried to get it signed in Europe when Zelensky was in, I think it was Switzerland or someplace else, and he didn't sign it. So he was on his way over to the States to do it. But it should have been done behind closed doors. This way, if Zelensky would protest, he would protest to the president himself. And then Trump probably would have said, okay, you're out of here. If you're not going to sign this deal, just go. And then there wouldn't have been all this confrontation in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion. What do you think?
Well, so I'm going to save my opinion on this for the 8 o'clock hour, if you don't mind. Because this time, because I want to throw this theory at John Jackson. Because obviously he's been very critical of Zelensky and all this, you know, and rightfully so, all the billions of dollars going into Ukraine since day one, right? But I want to throw this theory at him of, but first though, like, look, this is kind of the obvious questions, right? Which are, okay, God, why didn't they sign the deal before they went in to the Oval Office and then come out?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the,
yeah.
And,
you're right.
Because everything we heard is that, hey, Zelensky's coming to Washington to sign the deal. They're having the meeting in the Oval Office. So why didn't they sign the deal and do it? Now, the other angle to this is, too, is, you know, because Trump and J.D. Vance were very nice to him, and then something triggered the blow up. And J.D. Vance was on, I think, with Hannity last night, he talks about what triggered the blow up. And it was a question, I think, from a Polish reporter. And J.D. Vance's response to the Polish reporter, and then Zelensky weighed in and started to lecture the vice president of the United States. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, whoa, you come here with your pajamas on and now you want to lecture us? But the questions you're raising, I think they actually tie into what I think is the best theory about what happened Friday and why it actually happened. Anyway, I want to save it for the 8 o'clock hour because I want to get John Jackson's take on this when he's here with us. Tell you what, Mike, I got to hit the hard break here. If you got another point to make, stand by, and I'll come back to you here right after the break. Phone lines are open for you as well.
This episode is brought to you by Peacock. The new Peacock original documentary, Matthew Perry, A Hollywood Tragedy, dives deep into the beloved actor's rise to fame and his tragic death. Five people, including Perry's personal assistant, two medical doctors, and an alleged Hollywood drug dealer known as the Ketamine Queen, were charged with conspiracy to illegally provide Perry with the ketamine. Explore the details of the case in this heartbreaking special, streaming now only on Peacock.
Fox News commentary.
President Trump signed another historic America First executive order. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, talking to lawmakers weekly from opposite sides of the political spectrum about the issues of the day and how Americans can find common ground in a politicized world.
That's just not happening on Capitol Hill. It takes leadership, right?
Yeah, it absolutely does.
Along with all your Brett Baer favorites like the campaign, the candidates, the all-star panel, and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump signed a historic executive order to make English our official language of the United States. Not only does the order cement English as our official national language, it also revokes an order signed by Bill Clinton in 2000 that required federal agencies and recipients of federal funding to provide language assistance to non-English speakers, though under this order, agency heads will still be able to decide how to go about it. Though English has been our dominant language and used in every governing document since our nation's founding, up until now, we have never made it official. President Trump sees this move as a unifier. He believes a common language is at the core of a cohesive society. It's also a subtle indicator that those who seek to reside in this country should also seek to assimilate and learn English. The vast majority of other countries in the world have an official language, so it's about time the USA has one too. And now we do. English. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll start off the day with some areas of light snow with some light additional accumulations in some parts of the area. Then some sunshine develops, especially during the afternoon. High temperature readings, meanwhile, staying from the mid-30s to around 40. For tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies, low temperatures back in the lower 20s. Then we'll see partly sunny skies Wednesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/.
The DoubleTree Inn Hotel. Contact us today at billings.advertising@townsquaremedia.com.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I had a fun chat there with Mike and Big Timber during the break. I gave him the scoop. I gave him the scoop on what my theory is on the whole Friday Oval Office meeting. And anyway, I'll give you my scoop too. I'll give you my thoughts, my theory. And I ran this by some friends. We were having a little debate yesterday, discussion about, okay, do you think this went to, you know, did somebody plan to blow this thing up? Or did it just happen? Anyway, so I gave Mike the scoop. I'll give you the scoop in the 8 o'clock hour. And then, of course, I really want to hear John Jackson, the Joker from X's reaction to it as well. Let's see. What do we want to sneak in here before we run out of time? All right, the Mexico, China, and Canada tariffs go into effect. Caroline Leavitt, the White House spokeswoman, we've got a clip from the Trump war room. She is explaining why these tariffs had to go into effect, et cetera.
Everyone wants to talk about tariffs, bad, bad, bad. No, why don't people understand the president is a never-ending negotiator?
He's a never-ending negotiator. It's the art of the deal. But also, the president has proven, as he did in his first terms, that tariffs can bring good-paying jobs back here to the United States of America. They protect critical industries here at home. And President Trump is serious when he says he wants to make America the manufacturing superpower of the world. And we have the ability to do it. We have the best resources and the best people. But unfortunately, we've been ruled by a political class that has sold us out for far too long. And we've allowed other nations around the world to rip us off. So your audience should be aware that tonight, 12:01 a.m., tariffs on Mexico and China are going into effect, and another 10% on China, 25% on Mexico, 25% on Canada. And the reason is because we cannot continue to allow fentanyl to pour into our country and kill our people. I bet you every single person watching your show tonight knows somebody who has died at the hands of Chinese fentanyl that has come through our northern or southern border. And one American life is one too many. And these tariffs are necessary to continue to put the pressure on these countries to secure our borders.
All right, there you go. That was Caroline Leavitt. She was, it sounds like, on with Hannity last night. J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, did about a 20-minute, about 19-minute long interview, exclusive interview with Sean Hannity last night as well. He talked about, in fact, the dailycaller.com has a write-up about, you know, where things broke apart during the Trump-Zelensky blow-up at the White House. And then J.D. Vance had this to say just about the war in Ukraine in general.
It was without America, I would argue the president was right in saying they have no cards.
Yeah. Well, Sean, I think our European friends, frankly, are being really, really, they're doing a disservice to the Ukrainians because their own populations are saying, we're not going to fund this war indefinitely. The American people are saying, we don't want to fund the war indefinitely. So the only thing that is in the best interest of America, of Russia, of Ukraine, and of Europe is to bring this thing to a close. What happens, Sean, is you have Zelensky. He goes to Europe, and a lot of our European friends puff him up. They say, you know, you're a freedom fighter. You need to keep fighting forever. Well, fighting forever with what? With whose money, with whose ammunition, and with whose lives? The president is actually taking a much more realistic perspective and saying this can't go on forever. We can't fund this thing forever. The Ukrainians can't fight forever. So let's bring this thing to a peaceful settlement.
Oh, man. Let's see. Do I have time for it? Oh, I may not have time for it. Greg Gutfeld had a hilarious message to Zelensky. Greg Gutfeld, the message that he had to Zelensky was pretty comical. You know what? I'm going to save that one. I don't have enough time right now. We're out of time for this hour of the show, but I'm going to save that for John Jackson coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, because I can't wait to hear John Jackson's reaction to the whole, you know, Oval Office meeting on Friday, Zelensky and more. And then I want to throw my theory at John and see what he thinks about it. Either way, I think absolute brilliance by Donald J. Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. So here we go. Stand by. If you don't have a radio at your office and you're just pulling into work, download the Montana Talks app right now, because you're not going to want to miss the next 2 hours. Oh, and you can put earbuds in if you got that employee next to you that, you know, you got to hear their typing, but they don't want to hear your program.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
One critical piece of information that rarely seems to surface in the current war of words over disruption to federal government spending of late is just how much that spending ballooned in recent years. Not all the increases were the result of COVID. In 2019, when we were not exactly frugal, spending $4.5 trillion, that wasn't $1 trillion in excess of revenues. But then it got ugly. Last year's spending was $6.7 trillion. That's 52% more. Let's take a look at the pieces. The smallest increases were still large. Defense, 27%. Medicare, 34%. And Social Security, 40%. Other health program spending, including Medicaid and the VA, were up 56%. Other discretionary spending was up 71%. But the biggest rise was the interest paid on the ballooning debt. At $882 billion, it now stands 135% higher than 2019. And since 2022, the deficit started growing again, almost double the pre-COVID amount. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.